Good evening. My name is John Hodgman. Thank you for meeting me here in Los Angeles. I've been enjoying getting to know your city of Los Angeles. Until recently, my only experience within L.A. had been as a child. I had come here in the early 80s with my dad. He was on business. He took me along. And we went to the Universal Studios tour. And this was traumatic. What happened was we were sitting on some kind of a bench when I was approached by a small human dressed as Charlie Chaplin. At this time in my life, I had very long hair. I was 10 years old, but I had very long hair. It was a really stupid affectation. But the problem was that people routinely thought that I was a girl. And this would lead to occasional embarrassing situations, double takes, as I entered the men's room, for example, or being expected, say, to kiss Charlie Chaplin on his white powdered cheek. And so, after some predictable and annoying cane and bowler hat shenanigans, the moment came. Charlie Chaplin sat next to me and indicated that he was ready for me to kiss him. He waited me out. It was clear what was expected of me and what was going to happen, and finally, I let it happen. So that was my introduction to your city. A traumatic, gender-confused, silent comedy date rape. At the time, I had no idea why someone would expect a complete stranger to want to kiss them on the cheek, but now I understand, because now I am on television. Now my life has glamour. There is an original definition of the word glamour that I did not know about until I read fantasy novels. A glamour is a kind of magical spell, originally. To wear glamour is to surround yourself with a kind of aura that causes people to see you in a different way, to see you as you are not. It's a disguise. And being on television, I've discovered, is sort of like wearing a disguise, one that you didn't necessarily choose to put on, and only other people can actually see it. Over the past year, I've been trying to make sense of exactly how this all came about. I had written a book, and I had been asked to be a guest on The Daily Show, and next I was asked to audition for a series of ads for a computer company, and I got that job too. And just like that, I was on TV, pretty much by accident. And as a result, I am an older and fatter and more jowly person than most people who are making their careers on TV, who are starting out on television now. Here are some of the words that blogs have used when describing me on television. The pudgy John Hodgman. The chubby John Hodgman. Round John Hodgman. Stout John Hodgman. Tubby John Hodgman. Portly John Hodgman. And cutie. There's always an outlier. That last one came from a website that includes a regular feature mapping out celebrity sightings in New York City. And in this, an anonymous tipster reported accurately that I was taking the B train south from my home in Manhattan. And I remembered this, all of a sudden. I remembered this exact thing happening. I was on the subway, and I was wearing my brown jacket and my brown pants, and a neighbor had earlier said, you know, you look like a UPS guy in that outfit. And I was sort of thinking about that, and a woman got on the subway and sort of looked at me like, I know you. But then she just immediately started typing on her BlackBerry. And then a guy got on and did sort of the same kind of double-take look. And I was, which one of those people is the anonymous tipster? Which one thinks I am cutie? So highly subjectively, the tipster reported that I was cutie. And then returning once again to accuracy, the tipster reported I was dressed like a UPS man. After that, these strange brushes with fame, in which I, bizarrely, was the famous person, started coming about fairly frequently. Dateline, the Radio Shack, Big Y Plaza, Greenfield, Massachusetts. The young guy at the counter asked me to autograph an old receipt that he pulls out of the garbage. What are you doing here, he asks, in a way that conveys several more questions. What are you doing in Massachusetts, in Greenfield, at Radio Shack, at the Big Y Plaza? I am buying speaker wire, I tell him. The West Side Highway in the 20s. Two men in a brown Chrysler pull up alongside my car. When spotted, double thumbs up. The Apple Store, Soho. General store-wide freakout. There are waves of double takes as I walk to buy a cable. The store greeter cannot believe it is me. She jumps up and down. The staff starts to play the ads that I'm in on a giant video screen. Suddenly, I am like a mascot walking around a theme park. I'm Charlie Chaplin at Universal Studios. And everyone is rushing to kiss me. Not long ago, I was spotted at the airport in New York on my way here. A successful-looking businessman passed by me as I was waiting in line. He immediately smiled and said, "What, no corporate jet for you?" "Ha ha," I said. Then the businessman said, "Whatever they're paying you, you ought to tell them, keep the cash and pay you in flights." "Ha," I said. Beyond ha ha, I didn't know what to say, really, for two reasons. First, because prior to my being on television, businessmen in airports did not generally ever speak to me or even see me. Second, I have to say I was a little confused. As best as I could make it out, this businessman's financial plan for me was as follows. I should give up all payment for my work and instead barter my services for free airfare. I wondered if he had taken his own advice. Had he given up his paycheck for a trip around the world? Had he left his family behind, the children he could no longer feed? And the wife who could not understand his weird decision? Did he now spend his days forever ascending and descending, buckling and unbuckling? And now was he trying to trick me, like a fairy in a fable, into joining his strange, lonely, floating world? Still, I said, "Ha ha," in a way that said, "That's a good idea," because I almost instinctively wanted to please him, even though he was clearly insane. Only much later, like weeks later, would I consider a different explanation for his behavior, that the businessman was starstruck. He knew me from TV. He wanted to make a connection and said the first thing that came to his head, a very, very bad business idea that made no sense. And I had to consider for the first time the possibility that I didn't need to please him. The successful businessman was trying to please me. Not to complain, but this has been something of a difficult adjustment in my life. When you are in your 20s, it seems inevitable somehow that you will be on television, or an astronaut, or the president. It is hardwired into every gland, this ambition to be known and renowned. And then, of course, you grow older, pudgier, stouter, more portly. Then, just when you've discarded the last shred of a shred of a shred of the fantasy of, say, being an astronaut, to then have someone knock at your door one day and say, "It's time. Suit up. It's time to go into outer space." It's exciting, but also unsettling. You think, why now? And your idea of yourself never really catches up. You put on the spacesuit and you learn to eat dehydrated food and poop while floating upside down or whatever. You adjust, but you never really feel like you're supposed to be up there orbiting the Earth. Thank you very much.